Good morning. Welcome to Bnei Yisrael's Sunday morning learning program. This week's topic is Shavuos. This year is sponsored by Arturo Stern in memory of his father, Moshe ben Avraham Shmuel ben Yamin. After this year, Rabbi Sachs's new sefer is available for purchase, $10 a piece on Sfiras Halma. Kodesh Gadol Rav Sachs.
The Gemara explains in the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph that there was a separate Takanas Ezra to lane the Parsha Satochacha prior to Shavuos and before Rosh Hashanah. And this was a Takana that we fulfilled just yesterday during the Kriya Sator itself. Tosfos even comments that Chazal arranged the Seder HaParshiyos specifically in the sequence to see to it that the Kriya Sator falls out in this particular manner. Because Tosfos writes, but Sholo Beis Midrash Shorabeinu Nisim, that why is it that when it's necessary to combine and divide various parshios, for example, when you have two Shabbosos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, you have a choice. You can combine Matos and Masai, or you can separate Nitzavim and Vayelech. And our practice is to combine the longer parshios and to split Nitzavim and Vayelech. And it also says, why in fact is that true? Wouldn't it make more sense, at least pragmatically, to combine the shorter parshios? In fact, if you look at the Bir Hagra in the Sifri and Parshas Nitzavim, the Gaon points out that in principle Nitzavim Vayelech is considered to be a single parsha. In which case, it's almost as though we lane half a parsha one Shabbos and half a parsha another Shabbos. Why is that true? If you have to combine, why not combine Nitzav Vayelech? And one of the answers that Tosfos gives is exactly this point. We have to see to it that you will lane the proper parshios before Rosh Hashanah and before the experience of Kabbalah Sator and Chag HaShavuos. And Tosfos comments, if we wouldn't divide it in that particular fashion, you wouldn't be able to accommodate this Takanas Ezra. So the entire Seder HaParshios takes into consideration this unique takana that you have to lay in the parsha of the Tofacha before Shavuos and before Rosh Hashanah. The fact that this is an independent takana is also relevant for a kasha that the Taz raises. The Taz discusses this in two places, in Arachayim Kuf Lametes and later in Simen Tav Chavches in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, that the Taz is bothered by the following. The Mishnah tells us that ein mosifin beklolos, that when you lay in the Kriya Satochacha, you're not allowed to have hosafos. And why exactly is this true? The Gemara has two possibilities. The first is based on the pasuk of Musa Hashem b'ni altimas, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is admonishing us, giving us different musar, it's inappropriate to interrupt in the middle. Imagine that someone is giving you a mitzvah, and all of a sudden you say, you know, wait, you have to go ahead and make a mishaberach, you have to sell an aliyah. In such a case, no, it's not an appropriate time to go ahead and to do so. And therefore, laying the kriya satocha seamlessly. And the second possibility is what Reish Lakish comments, that ein mevarchin al davara. It's inappropriate to recite a bracha on a davara. If a person has a choice, either a bracha on a davar tov, a bracha on a davara, so therefore a bracha should be recited on a davar tov. And therefore, you always have to make sure that an aliyah ends on a davar tov. Gabayim and the shul where they have hosafos have to always be careful of many considerations where you end and begin an aliyah, but among them is exactly what the Gemara writes in Megillat Flamed Aleph, that a aliyah should always end on a davar tov, and therefore ein mafsikin bekolos. So the Taz, in those two places, in Kuf Lametes and in Tav Chavches, raises the kasha that how can Reish Lakish say that this is true? That reason of don't have any extra aliyahs hosafos because you'll have to have a tosefes bracha, that was very meaningful for Reish Lakish's time, because in the time of Reish Lakish and Amoraim, every ola used to recite their own bracha. However, this isn't merely a statement of Reish Lakish, this is a statement in the Mishnah, Ein Mosifin Beklalos. And in Bizman HaMishnah, as you know, the minhag was that the Kohen, the Poseach, would recite the first bracha. The Achron, the Chosim, used to recite the last bracha. And if you were accorded one of the middle aliyos, all it meant is you used to get up and you used to lane. So therefore, how can Reish Lakish explain the Mishnah in that fashion? There wouldn't be, seemingly, any additional brachas at all. In fact, the Tosfos Yontif writes on the Mishnah Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph that perhaps the reason of Reish Lakish was not really relevant to Zman HaMishnah, but Reish Lakish was given an additional reason that was relevant to his time, to our time, when there is an individual bracha on each and every aliyah. But seemingly, when you see that Gemara, Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph, Reish Lakish is explaining that statement of the Mishnah. And the Achronim have several different approaches. If you look, for example, in the Sefer Levi Aschein, he writes an interesting ha'ara that you know in the time of the Mishnah in Eretz Yisrael, they used to lane an atrenial cycle. That he used to lane an entire parsha each and every Shabbos, but only one third. And in principle, he argues as follows: that could mean that when they were laning the Tochacha, they were not beginning from the beginning of the parsha, and they were not continuing the end of the parsha. They were beginning in the middle. They would end in the middle of the parsha. And presumably, you could recite a bracha by either the Kohen or the Achron in the middle of the Kriya Satochacha. And therefore, that's what Reish Lakish says. You have to be careful. Even if you're going to divide into thirds, be careful that it doesn't fall out in the middle of the Kriya Satochacha, because Ein Mevarchin Al HaPranius, you don't recite a bracha on a Dovara. Or, for example, Ksam Sofer writes a very great Kiddush that indeed there was somewhat of a bracha, even Bizman HaMishnah. They didn't used to recite the entirety of Birchas HaTorah, but yet Baruch Hu Es Hashem Hamvorach was recited by each and every Ola, even Bizman HaMishnah. Chiddush. And therefore, if you were to call up someone in the middle of the Tochacha, he would have to go ahead and recite that particular bracha. The Taz himself suggests the following possibility: why is it Bizman HaMishnah that the intermediate aliyahs did not entail a bracha? Because in principle, every aliyah required a bracha, but in practice, the person would have in mind to be yotzi with the kohen and yotze with the achron. It's not that mi'ikar hadin there was only one set of brachos, beginning and end. In principle, every aliyah was a unit. Everyone is obligated to make kiddush, but only one person is doing so. True, I'm having in mind to be yotzi through the principle of shomea ka'ona. The Taz suggests that that was true in Bizman HaMishnah. And therefore, if in fact a person would be given an aliyah, even though it's the middle of the parsha, but let's assume, for example, he didn't have in mind to be yotzi with the Kohen. Let's assume, for example, walked in a little bit late. In such a case, he would have to recite a bracha lifanaha. If he would be leaving, he would have to recite the bracha lachareha. And therefore the Taz writes a chiddush that in principle, even Bizman HaMishnah, one could at times envision that there would be a bracha. But perhaps a very different approach, and this is what, if you look in the Maseches Sofrim, printed in the Shas Bavli, if you look in Perek Yud Beis on the bottom, there's a pirush which is called Nachmas Yaakov. The Nachmas Yaakov writes, if you look in Maseches Sofrim, indeed you look in Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi Maseches Sofrim emphasized that this was a separate takana of the Kriya Satochacha. And since it was a separate takana, it used to warrant even Bizman HaMishnah independent bracha. Let's assume, for example, the Zman HaMishnah, it was the Shabbos before Purim. So, the Kohen would recite the opening bracha, often recite the last bracha. You know what? They're taking out a new Sefer Torah now to lane Parsha Zachar. That was a separate chiyuv of Kriya Satorah, and as such, it used to have independent brachos. The Yerushalmi writes that this was true of the brachos and klala. This is not just a seamless kriya satora of parshas haShavua. This is a separate takana of the brachos and klalos before Rosh Hashanah, before Shavuos, and as such, Bizman HaMishnah had independent brachos, even to the point that if they were to interrupt, it would have been necessary to have independent brachos on every bracha and klala that is read, and therefore even Bizman HaMishnah in Mafsik and Beklavos, to emphasize the independence of the Takanas Ezra. We so beautifully have arranged the sequence, the Seder HaParshios, that, you know, you could hear the Kriya Satorah, the Stashavis, and not even realize that, you know, this is a Takanas Ezra. This is not merely Parsha Sashavua. And therefore, this was evident to the time of the Mishnah that they used to have special brachos. When they used to lay in a triennial cycle, Avudram points out, they were not in these parshios during the period prior to Shavuos or Rosh Hashanah. They had to take out a second Sefer Torah, as we do whenever we have a special Kriya Satorah, and lay in the brachos and klalos at that particular time. So therefore, Reish Lakish tells us, even Bizman HaMishnah, one has to be especially attentive where you begin, where you end, because Ein Mevarch and Al HaPeronos, to make sure the bracha is on a Dover Tov. But this is part of the uniqueness of that Takanas Ezra, the Kriya Satochacha, before Rosh Hashanah and before that Shavuos. When you look in the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos and Shoresh Gimel, the Rambam cites the view of the halachos gedolos. And here, the Bahag, as well as Reb Sadia Gaon, count the brachos and klolos as part of Taryag mitzvahs. And the Rambam is quite surprised that that should be the case, because the Rambam writes in Shoresh Gimel that you can only count something as part of Taryag mitzvahs if it is that which is lidoros. If you have a mitzvah which is not noheges lidoros, it's only a horashah, in such a case it is not to be included at all in Taryag mitzvahs. So for example, when Bnei Yisrael were commanded to place the dam on the mezuzos, on the mashkof, when they left Mitzrayim, that was true then, but it's not true now, and therefore that does not constitute one of the Taryag mitzvahs. And the Rambam writes, isn't that also true of the brachos and klolos? After all, the brachos and klolos occurred then, but it doesn't occur now, and therefore, this is only a horasha. It should not be counted at all. The Ramban explains, how is it possible that the halachos klolos and Rav Sadia Gaon counted the brachos and klolos as part of Taryag mitzvos? The Ramban there in Shoresh Gimel and Sefer Mitzvos makes the following distinction. When it comes, for example, to the dam, mezuzos and mashkov, the act of doing so, the maisa mitzvah, was only for then, it was only l'sha, but even its impact, its kium, was also only l'sha. Ramban writes, that's not true of the brachos and klolos. It's true, the ceremony, the process, the procedure of hagrizim or eva, brachos and klolos, only occur then, but its impact, its kium, the Ramban writes, is absolutely l'doros. After all, isn't that exactly what the Torah tells us in Parshas Nitzavim of this is not only for you who are here, but this is even as Rashi writes, Larabos, Doros Habayim Achrav, this is something that is enduring. And even if procedurally the ceremony of Hargriz and Raiva only apply then, but its binding power is something which is Ladoros, and therefore the Ramban writes, this is not called a Horasha, but rather this is called that which is a mitzvah, Ladoros. And therefore one could envision that the Bahag and Rav Sadia Gaon conclude this in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Even if you assume as the Ramban, it means true, the effect of, but is there any concrete halacha which is derived from the brachos in klalos that is a mitzvah which is l'doros? So if you look in the Sefer Mitzvos of Rav Sadia Gaon, as mentioned, Rav Sadia Gaon counts this among the Taryag mitzvos, and the Pirush of Reuchim, the official promo, he writes the following possibility. That we, of course, are very accustomed to the principle of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael, or Reivim Zembozen. And the question is, where do you see this as true? What are the Makoros of Arvus? So if you look in the Gemara and Sanhedrin and Daf Mem Gimel, the Sidi Shota and Daf Lamed Zayin, there the Gemara points to the Parsha Satel Chokha, the brachos and klolos. That when Knesset Yisrael answered Amen to each and every bracha, the Gemara writes, it was not merely a personal commitment, the personal affirmation that I will do whatever I can to individually observe the mitzvah Hashem, but rather much more than that. That was an affirmation collectively that everyone is going to take responsibility, that all of Knesset Yisrael as a single unit, as a single entity, will fulfill the Torah Hashem. And therefore the Gemara tells us that Arvus is derived from the Parsha Satochacha. And that's exactly why after the Tochacha and Kisavo, the Torah emphasizes that Pasuk of Lo Itchem Avadchem, this is not something that is only for you individually, but rather it is something that binds all of Knesset Yisrael as a single entity. The Gaon points out, it's found in several places in the Divrei Eliyahu, in the very end of the Sefer, in the Aderes Eliyahu, and Parshas Nisavim, that there is often a difference between Lashon Yachid versus Lashon Rabim. We've often mentioned this in Shirim. When it comes, for example, to Siras HaOmer, to Sfartem Lachem, each individual is obligated to count. The Gemara writes, Amenachos Ndav Samachay, Sfir Lachol, Echad v'echad. When it comes to what we just learned in Parshas Bahar, the Safarta Licha, you in the singular should count the years of the Yovel. So Tosus points out in Ksuvas Dafayin Beis, in that very sugya in Menachos Nav Samachay, the difference between Sfiras HaOmer as opposed to counting the years of the Yovel. Licha means Knesset Yisrael as a whole is obligated to count the years of the Yovel, the Sefiras HaOmer. Each individual is obligated to count. Why is that true? Because Tosus writes that Sefiras HaOmer was Sfar Tem Lachem. However, when it comes to counting the years of the Yovel, the Sefar Tolecha, how is it you in the singular count, Tosus writes a Chiddush, the Sanhedrin would convene every year and they would count the years of the Yovel with Abraham. That's Tosus's Chiddush. The Ramban has a suffix. The Ramban writes the following, that the term of Sira in Chumash can mean one of two possibilities. Sometimes it can mean literally to count each and every unit. Sometimes it can simply mean to calculate. It doesn't mean to count, but rather it means to assess. For example, when it comes to Ramban writes to counting days of Tuma in Tara, one is obligated to count a Zavah Gedolah, Shivan Akim, does it really mean Tosus writes the Safra law, you're obligated to count today is day one, today is day two, today is day three? The Ramban writes no, it just means to calculate when the days will come to an end and when days of Tara could begin. So the Ramban writes the following, the Safra law means to make that cheshbon, to calculate. When it comes to Sefiras HaOmer, it means to count, and the Ramban has a suffix. What does it mean when it comes to the years of the Yovel? When it tells us the Safar Talicha, does it mean Bezin has to count every year with the bracha? Or does it mean Bezin should simply calculate when Yovel will occur, and then the Kiddush, then the Mekadesh, the Shnas HaYovel? And Tosus comes from the opposite perspective. Tosus writes, it's obvious that counting the Omer means counting each and every day with a bracha. Tosus writes, it's obvious that counting the years of the Yovel means that count every year with a bracha. And Tosus is now bothered when it comes to counting Shivan Akim. Why is it that we don't insist that you count each and every day and make a bracha? Tosus writes, that's an exception. Counting days of Tum and Tara. Why is that true? Because Tosus says the Shemitir of the Tistur. After all, a person begins counting. The counting in principle is that which we control. And on that you can recite a bracha. Tosus writes, you can't recite a bracha on something that is not biyodcha. It's not something that you control. A woman will start counting day one, day two, day three. What do you mean? That perhaps she will now interrupt by seeing Dam? In such a case, it didn't culminate. It didn't result in Shiv Nekim. It's interesting. I mentioned Tosus is found in two places. In Ksuba Sayin Beis, in Menachos Daf Samachay, Tosus formulates it somewhat differently. Tosus writes, that's different, because maybe the counting will be interrupted, and therefore what? So Tosus writes, in Ksuba Sayin Beis, Ein La Limnos. Therefore, it doesn't really mean to count, because the counting is not something you control. Tosus writes, in Menachos Daf Samachay, Ein La Levarich. She shouldn't recite a bracha. It sounds somewhat different, no? But Tosus and Ksuba seems to indicate it doesn't really mean to count, because the counting is not something you control. Tosus indicates in Menachos, no. Seemingly, yes, it pays to count, but don't recite a bracha, because if you don't know what the end goal is going to be, so in such a case you can't technically recite a bracha. You know, it's interesting, Machlokes, the Rambam and Tosus, regarding Berachas Erusin. What type of bracha is Berachas Erusin? We discussed in earlier shiurim, and when do you recite this bracha? The sheet of the Rambam is there's a mitzvah of Ishus. Not only is there a mitzvah peruvu, but the Rambam writes there's a mitzvah of Ishus, and separate mitzvahs, Rambam has two separate mitzvahs. Kiryav Rivia, but also the Rambam has a mitzvah, Hiikach Ish Ishus. There are two kirsos in the Rambam who is obligated in the mitzvah of Ishus. Is it only the husband, or is it even the husband and the wife as well? That's the first Shivas Noda Vida and Evan Ezer. Who is obligated in this mitzvah according to the Rambam? And what is Birchas Erisin? The Rambam writes Birchas Erisin is a classic example of a birchas hamitzvah. And in principle, the Rambam writes that, you know what, who should recite this bracha? The chassan should recite birchas erusin. But you know what, the chassan's a little bit nervous, and the chassan probably has not really recited this bracha very often. So therefore, the Misadar Kedushin recites the bracha on behalf of the chassan. But when the Masadar Kedushin does so, he's being motzi the chassan and possibly the kala in Birchas Erusin. That also is a chiddush, that the Masadar Kedushin is called Mukhuyev Badavar. Because you know the Mishnah tells us, Rosh Hashanah Chates, Kol Mishin Mukhuyev Badavar, in a motzi Asarabim Yedei Chavaso, is the Masadar Kedushin Mukhuyev Badavar? He would argue, generally, yes. He also is obligated in the mitzvah of Kikach Ishisha, but not in this specific issues. Seemingly, according to the Rambam Shita, that's enough to render you mechuyah b'davar. The fact that in the broadest sense, that really is true. But that's not so simple. The Shulti HaGibran, for example, writes that at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that no one else can recite the bracha on Tigin HaBen other than the Avi HaBen, because after all, someone else is going to do it. Let's assume someone else goes in and gives the five slime to the Kohen. The Vilna Gaon writes that that could be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, but you're going to recite the bracha. You're not mechuyah b'davar. This is not your Pidyon HaBen. I also would be obligated in Pidyon HaBen if I had a bechor, but this ceremony of Pidyon HaBen, this mitzvah, is not mine. So therefore, the bracha is only recited by the Avi HaBen and none other. So interesting, is that so obvious according to the Rambam Shita, where the Rambam writes, the Masada Kedushin is mechuyah b'davar. He can go ahead and recite that particular bracha, because even though this is not his issues, but in the broadest sense, he also is obligated in the mitzvah itself. So the Rambam writes Birchas Erusin is the Birchas HaMitzvah, and it's Ovel Asiyasim. The other extreme is the view, for example, of the Shultos, where no, Birchas Erusin is the Birchas Shevach B'Hodah. Shevach B'Hodah. In fact, the Rosh writes in the very beginning of Ksuvos, it sounds like a Birchas Shevach B'Hodah. It doesn't sound like a typical Birchas HaMitzvah, Asher Kedushanam Mitzvah V'Tzivanu, and all you mention is Yishus and Kedushin. But it seems to be a much broader bracha, a Birchas Shevach B'Hodah, and therefore the Shultos writes, a pretty fundamental machlokas Rishonim and Gaonim, that the bracha is recited La'achar Asiyasa, not Ovel Asiyasa. A typical Birchas Hodah is Ve'achalta that first and then you recite the bracha. So too many Rishonim are of the opinion that after the Erusin, that is when you go ahead and recite the Birchas Erusin. You know, it's Machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos as well. When do you recite Shel Brachas? Before the Nisuin or after the Nisuin? According to the Rambam, even the Shel Brachas is Ovel Asiyasa. And Tosfos writes that no, that the Sheva Brachos are La'achar Asiyas. You know what fits in so beautifully? What is Nisuin? A little bit unclear from the Gemara. Now, the opening Mishnah Maseches Kedushin, Kedushin, Erusin is Kesef Shtar and Bia. What is Nisuin? Somewhat unclear. Oh, Machlokas the Rambam and Tosfos. Now, Tosfos writes that the Chuppah is Nisuin. And the Rambam writes that Nisuin is the Ichud, Ichud Harayi Labia. We recite the Sheva Brachos at the very end of the Chuppah, which is at once Ovel Asiyas, and according to the Rambam's Yichud, and Achar Asiyas of Tosfos' Chuppah. So here for Birchas Nisuin, we accommodate both Tosfos' view and the Shita of the Rambam. In fact, the Magen Avraham quotes the Sefer Okeach that writes, you shouldn't have a hefsek in between the Sheva Brachos and Yichud. Right? Sometimes you have drushas under the chuppah and everything like that. No, poshut pshat. The best time to have a drusha is at the time of the kriyas ksuva, because Rashi points out you don't really have to read the ksuva now. The reason you read the ksuva is to have a barrier in between two brachos of Baruch Yagothen. You just recited a bracha of Baruch Yagothen. You're now going to recite another bracha of Baruch Yagothen. So in order to indicate that these are distinct, Erusin and Nisuin, therefore Rashi says one should be mafsik in between. How are you mafsik in between? Oh, the kriya saksuva. You don't have to read the ksuva. No, the ksuva should be read by the chassan, by the edim at the chassan's tish. He should understand the chassan, what he is obligating himself, what he's getting himself into, and the edim have to be able to affirm that they're signing a document that they understand exactly to what they're affixing their signature. But the need to read it at the chuppah, Rashi writes, is just to create somewhat of a time gap. So therefore, if there's anything else that we do, so therefore, pashur shatam. Most appropriate time to do it is then, in order to have a hefsek between Beiris and Nisuin. But Magen Avraham writes, after the brachos of Nisuin, after Shel Brachos. Now there shouldn't be a hefsek according to the Rambam. This is Ovel Asiyasa of the Yichud itself. So interesting possibilities. So the Rambam and Tosfos, the Ravid has an interesting position. The Ravid writes that in principle, I agree with the Rambam, that Birchas Erusin is Birchas HaMitzvah. But in practice, I agree with the Shultos. Because how can the chassan now recite before the Ishus a bracha on the mitzvah? The bracha is not that which he controls. He is going to recite a bracha that what? I'm about to mekadesh this woman. It's really not up to him. No, who says that she will go ahead and accept the Kesef Kedushin. And even though chances are, right, that will occur, but nonetheless, you can't recite a bracha on that which you do not control. No, that's what the Tshuva Sarash provides in Simen Yuches when it comes to tzedakah. That the mitzvah of tzedakah requires that the ani accept the tzedakah, and therefore the Rashba writes, many reasons why there's no bracha on tzedakah, but the Rashba writes, it's not something that you control, and therefore how can you recite a bracha that I am about to perform a mitzvah when it is not something that is biyadi? The Rashba doesn't suggest, as the Raiva does, well, you know what, give it, and when the ani will go ahead and accept it, then you can recite the bracha. But that's what the rabbi writes one should do when it comes to Birkas Erusin. Make sure the Kala accepts the Kesef Kedushin. Once that's done, then you can recite the Birkas HaMitzvah. Because the Gemara does write in Tzachim Adav Zayin that whenever you have a case where a bracha cannot be recited before the mitzvah, the bracha is recited after the mitzvah. And the Gemara gives us the clear example of Tvilas Hager. A ger cannot recite a bracha before the gerus, so after the gerus he recites a bracha on tefillah. It also strives in bracha staff nun aleph, the same thing as shu when it comes to al netilas yadayim. It's not appropriate to recite the bracha before you wash. When your hands are foul, when your hands are soiled, then you recite a bracha, and then you wash. So therefore, Tosfos writes, the bracha al netilas yadayim is la'achar hanetilah, and many such examples. The Gemara writes a secret, you know? That's why the bracha on lulav is al netilas lulav. Because whenever you recite a bracha, the object should be in your hand. So therefore, you pick up the dalet minim. Well, once you pick up the dalet minim, meaning the agbei, nafik, beir yotze. So you know what? That's why the bracha is al matilas lulav and not lito lulav. Because the bracha is la'achar asiyasa. And whenever a bracha is la'achar asiyasa, right, the bracha is al, as opposed to li. In fact, the Vilna Gaon is very bothered by what we're used to, Tosus. Tosus writes, Natsu, Gipsachim Dav Zayin, Sokhanaf Lamites, that there are ways that you can pick it up and not yet be Yotze, have in mind not to be Yotze, or turn it upside down and you're not yet Yotze, and therefore you can simultaneously have it in your hand, but the bracha is over Lasiyasas. You know what the Rambam writes about that? The Rambam writes, Perakirah, the Vilchus Brachos. Well, if that's true, then the bracha should be Lito and not Al. Because if it's over lasiyasa, that would be the appropriate bracha. Interestingly, right, the most common practice is we pick it up in such a way that we're not yotze, and yet we still maintain the bracha that the Gemara writes of al netilas lulav. But it's interesting chiddush, the possibility when something is not that which you control, reciting a bracha after the fact. But Tosfos writes that's relevant to the bracha when it comes to svira itself. So interesting possibility. But getting back to our theme, Tosfos points out, even though when it comes to counting the yovel, a bracha is recited, not everyone recites a bracha is only recited by the Sanhedrin, because since yovel is rendered b'lashon yachid, the safarta l'cha, so in such a case, only the Sanhedrin, as the representative of Knesset Yisrael, goes ahead and counts the yovel. So therefore, when something is rendered in singular, the Gaon points out it means the totality, the collectivity, the unit of Knesset Yisrael. And Lashon Rabbi means each and every individual. We've pointed out in earlier shiurim many examples of this distinction, but the Gaon points out the Tochacha is a magnificent distinction, because there the Gemara points out, the Gemara really makes this distinction. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Tochacha here in B'chukosai, is B'loshen Rabin, the Tochacha in Kisavo is B'loshen Yachid. And that emphasizes a Kabbalah Sabris that has two different elements to it, individually and collectively. That Knesset Yisrael is bound to observe the mitzvah Hashem individually, but also as a single unit. And therefore, the Gemara derives the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh from the Parshas HaTochacha, from the Brachos and Klalos. That's the suggestion, that is why the Bahag and Rav Sadi don't count the Brachos and Klalos among the Tereg Mitzvos. That is the mitzvah of Arvos, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh. And in such a case, what better way to acknowledge that we're on the threshold of Dimei Hadin, on the threshold of Kabbalah Satorah, then accentuating the Krisas Bris, that which includes that element of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael Arevim, Zevozeh, and perhaps that is why they refer to this as one of the Tarig Mitzvos. The fact that this is true, that you would count Arvus as one of the Mitzvos Daraisa, the concept, for example, that we have of Yatzah Motzi, that even though I have performed the Mitzvah, I can perform Mitzvah repeatedly to discharge your obligation as well. If you're going to count this in Minyan Mitzvahs, I would suggest that it has a twofold implication. Number one, that Arvus is Daraisa, which we assume is true. Number two is Arvus is an independent mitzvah daraisa. Because what's the other possibility? Maybe one could argue that, of course, Arvus is a mitzvah daraisa when it comes to mitzvahs, the concept of a yotzeh motzi. I can blow shofar repeatedly, I can make kiddush repeatedly in order to see to it that you will fulfill your mitzvah. But maybe one could argue as follows, that Arvus is not to be viewed in a vacuum as an independent mitzvah, but rather, Arvus is an inherent element of each and every mitzvah, not an independent mitzvah. I am obligated in mitzvah A. Mitzvah A is kiddush. I am obligated not only to make kiddush myself, but to see to it that others will fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush, not as an independent mitzvah of arvus, but rather that is part of my obligation in a given mitzvah. We've discussed this chakira regarding many different mitzvahs, chatishir, in hiddur mitzvah, and losasar, many different applications. But here, how do you view the concept of arvus as an independent mitzvah, or as an element of, as a tznif, as a chelik of each and every mitzvah? So it's interesting that many point out that perhaps this is a machlokas that underlies a machlokas Rabbi Kivenga and the Noda Biuta in the following sense. The Gemara tells us that men and women alike are obligated in Kiddush, that's the Gemara Brachos and Dachof, and Shavuos and Dachof, that even though one would have suggested that Kiddush is an example of a mitzvah seisha, hazman grom, and women are exempt, so this clearly is a noted exception, as we sing in the Chadodi, the Zachar v'Shamor, the Dibur Echad Nemro, Kol Sheishno v'Shmira, Yeshno v'Zachira. Whoever is obligated in Shomer Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho is obligated in Zechira Shabbos. Zechira Shabbos applies to Kiddush, the Rambam writes it extends to Havdalah, and therefore women are obligated in Kiddush and Havdalah as well. So women are obligated in Kiddush. Kiddush min HaTorah, we assume according to Rov Rishonim, is Kiddush Bidvari. Any need for anything else, Kiddush al Hayayin, or certainly that which the Gemara is in Erev and Daf Mem, HaMavaret Tzorach Shiitam, that you have to drink the wine of Kiddush, all of that is only Drabanan. Kiddush min HaTorah is Kiddush Bidvari. And therefore, the Noda Yehuda found in Shulchan Aruch, the Pirush Noda is called the Dogger Mevada, on the daf of the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Ayin Aleph, raises the following difficulty. Right? Typically speaking, men go to Shul and Daven Maariv. Generally speaking, women do not Daven Maariv. In such a case, when a man will go ahead and come home from Shul, he is obligated in Kiddush only Midrabanan. He was Yotik Kiddush Midaraisa with Tefillin. His wife is so obligated in Kiddush, min HaTorah. How is it possible, Noda Yehuda writes, for a man to make Kiddush for a woman? That is the kashya of Noda Yehuda in the Shulchan Aruch itself, the Dogma above. And the obvious answer is, what do you mean? Arvus, Kol Yisroel, Mezebazeh, Yatzah Motzi. I can make Kiddush even a Hayayin. But if I see that you did not, I can make Kiddush a second time for you. So the Noda Yehuda quotes a line in the Rush, where the Rush writes, Nashim lav bechlal arvus. Arvus doesn't apply to women. Women are excluded from arvus. So therefore, if you have to come on to arvus to justify how one who has fulfilled the mitzvah can be motzi, one who has not, how is it possible for men to motzi women in Kiddush? And the Noda Yehuda leaves this as a tzarachim. How is this possible? So if you look in Rabbi Kivega, there in the Shulchan Aruch in Reish, Ayin Aleph, Rabbi Kivega writes a couple of possibilities. Number one, and that's the famous line of Rabbi Kivega, that if you don't need wine, and you don't need to drink to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush min HaTorah, all you need is acknowledging that it is Shabbos, women will also do that. when a woman will say good Shabbos, in such a case, that's sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. Well, that's what Rabbi Kiveger writes, interesting Kiddush. We discussed in earlier shiur about the mitzvah of Kiddush, that maybe that's not so simple. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Bir Halacha, that Siman Reishah in Aleph, that even Kiddush Midaraisa, the Rambam describes as Zechiras Shevach Bekiddush. That's language the Rambam in Perek Chavtes of Hilchos Shabbos. Zochreya Zechiras Shevach Bekiddush. If I just say good Shabbos, is that really called Zochreya Zechiras Shevach Bekiddush? I'm extolling, I'm praising the character, the nature of Shabbos. I didn't say anything about Shabbos other than it is Shabbos. Is that really considered to be sufficient? So the last time I discussed this, I mentioned maybe that's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. Because the Rambam writes the purpose of Kiddush is Zachriya Zechira Shevach. But if you look at the Ramban in Aseres Dibros and Shmos Perachach, the Ramban writes the Pasuk of Zochis in Mashavu Sakacho. What is the mitzvah in the Torah of Kiddush? A mitzvah to Mekadesh the Shabbos. The Kiddushim. Like your Mekadesh the Chodesh. Like your Mekadesh Yoldo. Fascinating. That when we fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, what are we doing? According to the Ramban, we're praising Shabbos. According to the Ramban, we are being Mekadesh the Shabbos. No? To be Mekadesh the Shabbos, all you need is an acknowledgement that now it's Shabbos. When Bezin is Mekadesh the Chodesh, they don't extol the virtues of Rosh Chodesh, they just simply say Mekudesh. When they are Mekadesh the Yovel year, that's all they say is it is Yovel. They don't have to say anything more. No? So too, Poshav Shat, according to the Ramban, a mere acknowledgement that now it's Shabbos is sufficient to be Mekadesh the Yom. That's one possibility. Kivega writes, interesting Kiddush, that a mere acknowledgement is enough to fulfill the mitzvah. But then Rabbi Kiveger points out more fundamentally that it's not so simple to quote that Rush in this context. Does the Rush say the women are excluded from Arvos? Yes. The Rush says that that certainly is true. Women are excluded from Arvos. But what exactly does the Rush mean? It's Rabbi Kiveger, right? You can't ignore the context of the Rush. And the context of the Rush is a kasha, an apparent stira between the Gemara Brachos and Daf Chav and the Gemara Brachos and Daf Memchas. The Gemara Brachos and Daf Chav raises the following issue. Are women obligated in Birchas HaMazon? The answer is yes, it's a mission. But are they obligated min HaTorah or are they only obligated min Rabbana? That's somewhat unclear. What is the obligation of women in Birchas HaMazon? One possibility of the Gemara is they're obligated min HaTorah. Why? Because they're obligated min HaTorah. Why would one think that women are, it's not a mitzvah sesesha hazman grama. The question really is that, is it, why should women only be obligated nidrabanam? That's not so clear. That's side of the Gemara. Tosis, for example, right? Because Birchas HaMazon requires min HaTorah, an acknowledgement of bris and Torah. And therefore women are excluded from Bris and Torah, and therefore maybe they're only obligated in Birchas HaMazon Derabbanan. The Gemara says, what's the difference? Whether women are obligated to benching the HaTorah, benching Derabbanan, they must bench. Does it really make such a difference as to whether there is the Derabbanan? The Gemara says, yes. The possibility of a woman being motzi a man in Birchas HaMazon. If women are obligated min HaTorah, then absolutely yes, they can. If women are only obligated in Birchas HaMazon Derabbanan, then lo osi Derabbanan umapik daraisa. And the Gemara does not come to a conclusion. The Balamorites, we treat this as a suffix. Fine. The Rosh is bothered by the following. That's the Sugin Brachos and Daf Chav. The Gemara Brachos and Daf Memches. If a person eats a kazai yisafas, he can be motzi someone else in Birchas HaMazon, even if that someone else is a melech, the Gemara writes. The melech presumably eats kadesia. So a person who eats a kazayis, Rashi explains, can be motzi one who eats kadesia. How is that possible? Because Rashi and Tosfos both assume that the shear of Birchas HaMazon min HaTorah is v'achalta v'savata kadesia, fully satiated, fully satisfied. Kazayis is only Derabbanan. So how is it possible for one who only ate a kazayis to be motzi a person who had an entire suda? So the answer, Rashi, Tosus, the Rush, Arvus. Arvus allows one who is only obligated, Derabbanan, who ate a kazayis, to be motzi one who eats kadesviya. So that's the kash that the Rush raises. One who is obligated only to Rabbanon, who eats a kazayis, kimotzi kadesviya. But the Gemara Brachos now Davchaf, but one who is obligated in Brachos Mazon Rabbanon, a woman, cannot be motzi a man who is obligated min HaTorah. So how is that possible? When do you assume a Rabbanon can be motzi daraisa? When do you assume it is not? What's the difference between a woman assuming she is only obligated min Rabbanon in benching as opposed to a man who is only obligated Rabbanon because he ate the shir kazayis? Shir kazayis. That's the kasha. If you look in the Rabban al-Muhammad, the Rabban writes that you see from this and from other sugyas as well that kazayis is daraisa. Well, kazayis is daraisa. There's no difference between kazayis as opposed to kadesvi. But how do you resolve that difficulty? According to Rush, he told us the Rush. So that's what the Rush writes the following. The Rush writes that the Gmandach Memches, that what do you mean? That even if I only ate a kazayis, but arvos, kol yisrael regim sabazeh, I can be motzi on a mitzvah. If anything, the question is the opposite. Maybe we should argue that even if I didn't eat anything at all, I can bench for you. Because kol yisrael mezabazan. The Rush writes, yeah, that's the starting point. But you know what? In order for a person to recite Berachas HaMazon, we insist on some form of achila. Even minimal achila is sufficient. Because now we can kick in the principle of arvos. Why don't you say the same thing of Brachos Nafav? Even if a woman is only obligated benching the Rabbanon, she b'motzi men is obligated in a Torah because of Arvos. That's what the Rush writes, because Nashim lav b'chlal Arvos. Women are exempt from Arvos. Rabbi Kvega writes, that's why you have to go through these sugyas, as I mentioned, because you can't ignore the context. You can't ignore the context. And Rabbi Kvega writes, what the Rush means is simply this. Arvos is not an independent mitzvah, but arvos is an extension of one's obligation in that particular mitzvah. And that's exactly what the Rush means. A man, undeniably, is obligated to benching min HaTorah. He's obligated in arvos of Berachas HaMazon. Whoever is obligated in Berachas HaMazon is obligated in the arvos of Berachas HaMazon. So even if a man only ate a shir drabanan, but min HaTorah, he's obligated in arvos of Berachas HaMazon, and therefore he can be motzi someone else in benching, even if he only ate a kazayis, and that person ate kadesh sviya. But if you assume that possibility of the Gemara that women are exempt from Berachas HaMazon min HaTorah, that's what the Rush argues. If you're exempt from that mitzvah, you are exempt from the arvos of that mitzvah. And therefore, assuming as the Gemara is that women are exempt from Berachas HaMazon min HaTorah, then you can't invoke the principle of arvos. But if you were to mention a mitzvah that clearly women are obligated in, such as Kiddush, well, of course, then women are obligated in Kiddush, they're obligated in the arvos of Kiddush, and men can be motzi women can be motzi men. There you wouldn't argue with la b'cha arvos dinu. Even aside from all the technical rayas, it sounds so unusual, women are exempt from arvos. Women are exempt from the collective nature of the Kol Yisrael Reidens. Why should one assume at all that that's true? When the Rush writes that, the Rush is dealing with a case where you're exempt from a mitzvah. The Rashi maintains that the arvos of a mitzvah cannot exceed your obligation in the mitzvah itself. So if you're exempt from that mitzvah, you're exempt from the arvos shiva. And therefore that is the meaning of the Rosh. But you cannot go ahead and transpose that to a mitzvah that women are obligated in. And therefore, of course, the answer to the Nodei Be'ahavos Kasha is very simply, how can a man make kiddush for his wife? Arvos. Yatzamotzi. Even if one fully recited Kiddush, you can go ahead and repeat the Kiddush a second, a third, a fourth time in order for someone else to be able to that particular chiyuv. In other words, Rabbi Kvager maintains that arvos is not viewed in a vacuum independently, but arvos is an extension of my obligation in each and every mitzvah. I would tell you that this is consistent with another point Rabbi Kvager makes on that very Gemara in Brachos and Dachav. The Gemara debates whether women are obligated in benching min HaTorah, whether women are obligated in benching Drabanan. Why should you assume you're only obligated in benching Drabanan? Because Tosus writes, they're excluded from Bris and Torah. They're not obligated in Talmud Torah, they're not obligated in Bris Nima. So therefore, if that's a precondition, if that's an inherent part of benching, the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva writes that Bris and Torah is only Drabanan. But Tosus clearly is assuming Bris and Torah is Daraisa. Because Tosfos writes, those who were excluded from Bris and Torah are exempt from Berachos HaMazon Midaraisa, women. So therefore, if that's an inherent component of Berachos HaMazon, according to Tosfos, therefore you understand that women are exempt. So now Tosus turns the table. Tosus flips the kasha. Tosus writes as follows, Brachos Dachav, how can you argue that women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon and HaTorah? If bris in Torah is so obviously part of benching, and women are exempt from bris in Torah, so how can one be obligated in Birchas HaMazon? Tosus is kasha. Brachos Dachav from a base. How can that possibly be? What, you mean maybe women are obligated in bris milah? Women are obligated in Talmud Torah? Certainly not. So therefore, how is it possible to maintain that women are obligated in benching midaraisa? So Tosfos starts a pretty fascinating finish. No, there's a possibility. Men are obligated in HaTorah and benching. Women are obligated in HaTorah and benching. But you know what? The man's Birchas HaMazon and the woman's Birchas HaMazon are not identical. The man's Birchas HaMazon must include bris in Torah. And without that, he's not going to be yotzei. Even if women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon, min HaTorah, they are not obligated in bris in Torah. So if a man were to bench, and somehow he wouldn't acknowledge bris in Torah, he wouldn't say, Al bris Roshach HaSam to be serena Baal Torah, Soshali Matonah, he wouldn't be yotzei. But if a woman is benching, and she doesn't acknowledge, of course she's yotzei. Interesting chiddush. That's what Tosfos writes. That even if you assume women are obligated to benching, they're not going to be obligated in that component of benching. Unusual. Both men and women will be obligated min HaTorah, but you know what? The detail of the mitzvah is going to be somewhat different. Sorry, Kveger is very bothered. But wait, what exactly did the Gemara say? What's the difference as to women are obligated min HaTorah or whether they're obligated min HaRabbanan? The difference is whether a woman can be motzi a man in Birchas HaMazon. How can a woman be motzi man in Birchas HaMazon? A woman is going to go ahead and bench, and she's going to include, right, al bris Roshach HaSam, but she's not obligated. So if she is not obligated in bris and Torah, how can she motzi a man in that element of Birchas HaMazon? That's Rabbi Kiviger's kasha, according to Tosfos. You know what Rabbi Kiviger writes? That true. Even if you assume that women are obligated in benching midaraisa, and even if you assume that women can be motzi men in Birchas HaMazon, you know what? The man himself is going to have to say that line. The man himself is going to have to acknowledge bris and Torah. Women can't be motzi a man in the bris and Torah aspect of benching because they are exempt from that element of Birchas HaMazon. Well, that's Rabbi Kiviger writes. See, even when the Gemara suggests this as a possibility, but realize there is an element where that is not true. Bris and Torah, so an interesting thing. Now, not everyone agrees with that. If you look in the Shuvah Sfikri Leiv, for example, here I said, what do you mean? That as long as women are broadly obligated in a mitzvah, you could apply arvos. And therefore, the arvos would be enough to allow women to be motzi man, even in Bris and Torah as well. See, Rabbi Kiviger just got through explaining that arvos is not an independent mitzvah. Arvos is an extension of my obligation in each and every mitzvah. And the obligation of arvos can never exceed my obligation in a mitzvah. And therefore, part of the obligation that a woman has in Birchas HaMazon is the arvos of Birchas HaMazon, but if a woman's obligation in Birchas HaMazon does not include bris and Torah, Rabbi Kiviger writes, there's no arvos to bris and Torah. And therefore, the Shitas, Rabbi Kiviger writes, the man is going to have to acknowledge bris and Torah himself. This is in very well for Rabbi Kiviger's broader understanding of arvos, not independent, but arvos is considered to be an inherent part of each and every mitzvah. It's not that arvos makes you into a bar chiyuva. Arvos means adayin lo yatzasi yedei cholasi. I didn't yet fulfill my mitzvah. I'm obligated in Kiddush. Yeah, but you're here at the table. You didn't make Kiddush yet. I cannot say a smug approach, well, I fulfilled my mitzvah. No. Arvos means I haven't fulfilled my chiyuv until. And therefore, the arvos can never exceed my chiyuv in a particular mitzvah. But that's exactly what she does say. Those 2 points of Rabbi Kiviger. I would suggest a third. That's Rabbi Kiviger in Megillah and Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, where Rabbi Kiviger is bothered by the following, that there the Gemara tells us that if you have a person who is a cheresh, who is eino shomea, he can enunciate, he can articulate, but he can't hear, so he cannot, he's potter min ha-Megillah, because he cannot hear that which he is saying, and he cannot go ahead and be motzi acher midei chalasa. Rabbi Kveikar is bother, why should that be true? After all, he can articulate, he can read the Megillah, and the other person who's a shomea can hear him. If it's merely a technical, a pragmatic difficulty, that the Cheresh cannot hear himself, I understand, but why should that translate to someone else? Why don't you argue that the Cheresh should be able to read the Megillah for someone else, because the practical problem that he cannot hear is only relevant to him, but not relevant to the other individual? So you know what Rabbi Kveikar answers in the Chiddushim? Because Arvos is an extension of your obligation each and every mitzvah, and if by virtue of the fact that the Cheresh is unable to hear means that he's exempt from the mitzvah, his obligation of Arvos cannot transcend his obligation in a mitzvah. And if he's exempt from the mitzvah, he's exempt from the Arvos of that mitzvah, even if the exemption is based on a technicality of an inability to hear, which would only apply to him, it wouldn't apply to the other individual. I would suggest that all 3 points of Rabbi Kveikar and Reish Ayin Aleph and Brachos Tavchav, Megillah Tes, all of that is l'shitasim. How Rabbi Kveikar understands Arvos as an inherent part of each and every mitzvah. See, the reason I think that's important is as follows. If we should maintain that the Bahag, Rav Sadia Gaon, acknowledge the Brachos and Klalos of the Kriya Satelkocha as a mitzvah, so it's a twofold chiddush. Arvos is daraisa, true, but Arvos is an independent mitzvah. One could, of course, agree Arvos is a din daraisa, but it's not to be understood as an independent mitzvah, but rather it is part of each and every mitzvah. Therefore, if I were writing the Sefer Mitzvot, it wouldn't necessarily include, according to Rabbi Kveikar, Arvos is an independent mitzvah, because Arvos simply is an offshoot, an extension, an inherent part of each and every mitzvah in and of itself. But understandably, why it is that at this time we lay in the Brachos and Klalos? Because what better context and framework introduction is there to Chag HaShavuos than a Kabbalah Sabris, but a twofold acceptance of the Bris of Hashem? To do so individually, but to commit to do so collectively as well. Because after all, Kabbalah Satorah was not an individual experience. The Bircha Satorah of Asher Bachar Bano means that we are part of the Manitcha, that we collectively speaking are embraced with that sense of a Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, one has to acknowledge that before the Yom HaDin, and one has to acknowledge that before the Yantif of Shavuos. After all, Kabbalah Satorah is only meaningful if a person will see himself not merely individually, but part of a collective whole, the uniqueness of the Tzibur. And therefore, the Takanas Ezra, the Kriya Satochacha, the Tochacha rendered, as the Gemara writes in Daf Lamed Aleph in Megillah, twice, Moshen Rabin, Moshen Yochid, as the Gon explains, two different Kedushos that we have in order to manifest that twofold mandate, the person's commitment to individual Shmiras HaMitzvos, but the need to see yourself as part of a community, part of an entire Tzibur, and therefore the affirmation of the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Chag HaShavuos is not dependent on a calendar date. Chag HaShavuos is dependent on the Sfiras HaOmer, which is Koveya, the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Sfiras HaOmer is found twice in the Chumash, in Emor and in Re'eh. And you know what the difference is between those two parashiyos? In Emor, Usfartem Lochem, Loshon Rabim, and in Parshas Re'eh, Shiva Shavuos Tispar Loch, Loshon Yachim, two dinei Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer individually, and Sfiras HaOmer collectively. Our Gerson the Sifri writes that there are two mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of each yachid to count the Omer, and then there's a mitzvah on Bezdin to count the Omer, the Sifri writes. Because the Sfiras HaOmer is so critical to be Koveya the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and therefore there are two counts, the Sifri writes. A pretty incredible chiddush. Two counts. There's an individual count, but then there's the collective count of the entire Tzibur of Sfiras HaOmer itself. And that's why Sfiras is rendered twice in the Chumash, Yachid Rabin, parallel to the Tochacha, Lashon Yachid, Lashon Rabin, because the experience of the Yom Tov of Shavuos and its preparation emphasizes that twofold Kedusha. It's an important mindset. When one approaches the time of Kabbalah Satara, the commitment that we have in the Hachana for that dual sense of appreciation of Kedushas Yisrael, to value the Kedusha that each individual possesses of the Yachid, but also to recognize the uniqueness that we have of being part of the entirety of the Tzibur, and the prominence, importance highlighted in the Tochacha of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevus.
Thank you very much.